I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
All right, Dustin Ross, my darling, how are you doing today? How are you feeling?
I feel good today. I feel good today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good time to be black. It's a good time to bet on black.
You know, speaking especially of, today.
Okay.
In America, today.
That's right.
I believe the book goes on sale momentarily, January 31st.
Get your copy. You go.
Here's the good news, jurors. If you order yours now, like I've been telling y'all to do, it'll be like Christmas morning on January 31st. You'll wake up and Amazon will just be there.
How about that?
And then y'all pay attention. I am coming to a city near you, I promise you, with this tour.
Book tour, baby.
Book tour coming.
I cannot wait. I'm so proud of you, Ebony.
Thank you, babe. Yep. I can't wait for you to actually read the guts of the book, Dustin. Like, people keep asking me, oh, are you excited about the book release? I guess what I'm excited about, Dustin, is for people to get into the guts of this book and to read the content that I am suggesting and offering to be in. I was talking to Sora about this. I really suggest this book to be read in a buddy system, like you have a gym buddy, because it's going to be some shit I'm throwing in there that's going to be, let's say, thought-provoking.
To say the least.
That, you know, it's not about just getting in line with what I'm saying. It's about challenging you to think about these issues. And you're going to, trust me, you're going, it's like a good TV show.
Yeah.
You're going to want to be like, girl, you seen this week's episode? Girl, you on chapter three yet?
Yep. I welcome the agitation. And I'm sure that the reading audiences do as well.
And it's with love. Yep. It's a challenge. It's with love. It's a little, you know, I like to push. I'm pushing the culture with this one, Dustin. And I'm really excited.
I'm excited for you. So congratulations, E.
Thank you, baby. And you know what? You know what we also need to congratulate one another for? Is this fantastic, humbled NAACP Image Award nomination. Thank you to the Academy.
Clap and make it clap.
Listen.
Okay, let's just celebrate.
Well, that's really the theme of the show.
Yeah.
Clap and make it clap.
Clap and make it clap.
Make it clap. Oh, did you see, by the way, that book influencers TikTok of us?
Oh, yes. Reading, using the audio, using our sound. That made me feel good.
That made me feel
hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Yep.
And I really felt like culturally we've arrived.
Yes.
That was hysterical. if y'all don't know what we're talking about, I'm going to repost it on my Instagram.
Yep,
it's take on Holding Court and the work that we do. But no, I couldn't have been more happy, Dustin, to call you that Wednesday morning to say, and as of today, Dustin Ross, you are an NAACP Image Award nominee in the category of Outstanding News and Politics Podcast.
I just like that the prestige that is attached to this show, your show, our show,
nominated
for an NAACP Image Award is so validating, so affirming
in
all the best ways. You know, black people and all people, but especially black people, we care about and hold the NAACP Image Awards in high regard and high esteem.
Percent.
So to be in that in the great company that we're in our category with the fantastic other nominees.
Lineup, other fellow nominees.
This is just such a great thing for this show that we believe in and Interval Presents has believed in.
And everybody has not believed in. Let me be very clear. You know, when I curated this show from just a thought in my, you know, this big crazy mind of mine, I had executives at big time companies and on big time platforms tell me that this show wouldn't work. Dustin, I was told that black people would never listen to a legal podcast. Oh yeah. Bitch said it with a straight face too. Still work there too.
Yep.
Anyway, and I just knew it wasn't true because I actually know my people. I know our people, Dustin. And like I said in my post, like the addition of you to the show, it took a really great show to something that is exceptional. And I say that with no hesitancy. What we do on this show each and every week is exceptional and it is unique. And that was my challenge as a content creator and as a podcaster, right? Like, and you talk about this all the time, and it's people really need to hear you. Podcasting is an incredible genre and venue for amazingness and magic, right? But a lot of people are doing shows just to talk. They are
clouding the space with
congesting the space.
Congesting the space.
Okay? Backing it up.
Fucking it up. Seriously. And I hate to even go
there
as we talk
true.
About something so, you know, But you're right, and I'm grateful for our voice being heard throughout all of that.
That's it.
And yeah, making it, cutting straight through.
It cuts straight through, and to be nominated and organized, recognized rather, by the NAACP, you know, in the vein of W.B. Du Bois.
Oh,
my
God.
That this organization means and matters for, it's great. And I can't wait to go shopping for our red carpet outfit.
I've already started the journey.
I know you have.
I cannot
Fly
wait.
Flymaster.
I just can't wait, and this is something that's really special and meaningful to me. So I'm very honored, very grateful, and just happy to be recognized for this show to be recognized.
In particular, by this organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and y'all make sure you take your asses online and vote.
Please go vote. Thank you, and tell your mama, anybody, your friend, everybody.
As Obama would say, don't boo, vote.
Vote, okay.
Okay. All right, so with that said, let's get into today's docket.
That's right.
We're going to start off by an update on the Jen Shah sentencing that I found noteworthy. A lot of people, probably this went under your radar, like, who, you know, whatever she's sentenced. We know she's going to jail for 6.5 years. We've covered that extensively on the show. But she's now also, Dustin, being ordered to complete a certain treatment package
after
her release. And I got something to say about that hopefully will help our jurors next time they are someone they love find themselves in a court of law.
Okay.
Then we're going to go on to our producer, Ashley Hobbs, sent this one over. It was kind of like a wild card in terms of the stories we normally cover, but I found this story to be a red flag, Dustin. Mm-hmm. And it was a red flag because of the title alone. The story is, and this was something in CNBC, recent study shows home ownership doesn't help build wealth.
I saw that.
Put a pin in it, because we're going to talk about what it is and what it ain't.
Okay.
Okay, on that one.
In other words, don't get it twisted.
That part. Because this is where I get real conspiracy theorists on you. When they don't want you to pursue something, be suspicious.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And then, Jaguar Wright. Okay, so I'm sure you guys have seen the video. Miss Jaguar Wright, if you were of a certain generation, you might not even know who that is, but we do.
We do. We know her. We can hear her singing voice right now.
Yeah, it's a very distinctive tone, and you know, she represents a certain aspect of R&B soul.
And a certain time, section in time in R&B music. Yeah.
So whenever I see these things, and unfortunately, every time we see Jaguar Wright as of recent, it is something that feels sad and unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But this one I wanted to cover, not necessarily to, harper more negativity on this sister, because she really seems to be going through it. But really, she's arrested for a domestic violence dispute with her, I guess, estranged husband. I don't know what their situation is. But the reason I want to talk about this, Dustin, is because we come from a generation where when we talked about domestic violence, it was almost always men who were being arrested, who were going to jail, and who were being convicted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new day.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, it's a new day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's important that you understand that a narrative that we might have been told from our grandmamas and grandpapas or whoever the hell, that as women, we can do whatever or show out or put our hands on
without consequence.
It's a new day.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about it.
Okay. I think this is a timely conversation.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to save some people some time.
Mm-hmm. Me too. How about that?
How about that? Okay. Oh, Lord have mercy. All right, so we're going to start with Jen Shah. As you recall, Jen Shah, of course, former now cast member of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. She, pleaded guilty to several counts of fraud and ended up getting sentenced to 6.5 years in jail. And she will start her sentence, Dustin, in February?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she reports to jail in February. And she is facing, now she has been convicted of federal charges that were handled right down the street here in the Southern District of New York
City, baby.
That's the worst district, y'all. I promise you, you don't want to be there.
Mm-mm.
Ever since Giuliani left, it's been a situation ever since. I'm serious.
A situation on a situation.
On a situation. If you haven't seen it, I don't normally just randomly for free promote other people's products, but CNN has an extremely well done documentary around Giuliani, what happened to America's mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially if you have New York, residency.
Affiliate,
man, you want to watch that.
Yeah.
That's some shit right there.
Okay.
Going back to David Dinkins and then some.
We'll talk about that. Maybe we need to put a pin in that one,
Ashley, go ahead and put a pin in that. We need to do that. All right. Anyway. Back to Jen Shah. Jen's 49 years old. She was sentenced to 6.5 years, blah, 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 blah. Now, once she's done with that sentence, and that's a long sentence, to be clear. 6.5 years ain't no lightweight work. That's what you call a real bid.
Yeah.
Anything over 5 in the streets is you doing a bid.
A bid.
So after Jen finishes her bid, she will then be subject to 5 years of supervised probation. That's typical. You rarely do you just get out of jail and just walk free.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're going to be still under conditions of the court. And that's why we're talking about this story. So part of her probation, which again, she's going to be, her probation officer ain't going to be your mom and pop probation officer down the street. She will be reporting to the feds. And federal probation oversight, Dusta Ross, ain't no hoe.
Yeah.
That ain't no hoe.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You breathe wrong, a bitch gonna be violated.
Yep.
Part of her probation term, Dustin, is they're requiring her to take certain mental health treatments. I quote the federal government when I say this. Her order says, you must continue to take any prescribed medications unless otherwise instructed by the healthcare provider. You must contribute to the cost of services rendered based on your ability to pay and the availability of third-party payments. Also revealed on the show, that, and this is why you have to be very careful when you do these reality shows, you know, everything that you say on camera, on the show, is subject to evidentiary submission. Yeah. I mean, that's obvious, but part of what she admitted to on the show, Dustin, is that she suffers from depression and that she has been prescribed antidepressants that she takes and doesn't take according to her will, and that she has attempted suicide after the charges came out. Now, when she went in to do her plea, she asked for leniency, saying this. This is her quote. She had some personal and painful experiences that she was going through in her life, including the death of her father and grandmother. This is why this story is important to y'all listening. And I don't know the total ins and outs, Dustin, so I want to be fair here of what Jen's legal team presented her. Because sometimes as lawyers, and I know this, so I actually now I'm showing up with complete compassion for our legal team. I could take you to the water.
But I can't make you drink.
I can't make you drink it. So I can say, hey, client, I think this, 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 and this would be great things for you to do ahead of sentencing. See, a lot of lawyering, and I want to say this plainly, especially when you're a criminal defense lawyer, Dustin, a lot of people like to get on their high horse and they like to say things like, how can you defend those people? How can you defend those guilty, awful people? And the answer is simple. First of all, our Constitution, all you patriots out there.
That part.
It requires me to do so because you and every other American has a constitutional Sixth Amendment right to counsel. Mm-hmm. That's that part. Second part, this system that for all of its failures and challenges and points of injustice is the closest goddamn thing we have to a justice system in this country. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to use my God-given strengths and spiritual gifts to be an advocate of good within this system, that requires me to participate, Dustin Ross, in full capacity. Mm-hmm. It's an adversarial system. In order for the system to try to work, it needs a prosecutor, and it's got to have a defense counsel to hold the prosecutor accountable for doing their job. My job is to make sure they do their job. Mm-hmm. My job isn't to, quote, get anybody off. Mm-hmm. My job isn't to change no facts. My job is not to undo no crimes. Mm-hmm. My job is to make sure they do their job. And when everybody does their fucking job, mm-hmm. rather, you have a chance of justice. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So, back
the
to taking.
We even have to explain.
But you know,
people,
we do.
Yeah.
But you know we do.
Yeah.
Especially when you have the audacity to do defense work and look like I look. Like we look. All right. So, back to taking a horse to water and the bitch not drinking. So, I don't know what Jen's team suggested to her. But I will tell you what I always led with my clients. Okay. This is a situation. The first consultation I always had with my clients, Dustin, was almost think of it like a consultation of education.
Okay.
Let's start with what are you charged with and what are the potential consequences if everything goes bad for us? Mm-hmm. And under that premise, my job is to help you prepare for every scenario.
That's right.
Right? Okay. So one of the things I would always do with my clients, Dustin, is what things can we do? Your guilt or innocence aside. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that part. Mm-hmm. That part going to play out. Mm-hmm. But there are still some things, Dustin Ross, as your defense counsel I can suggest to you and really walk you through process-wise mm-hmm. to put you in best position no matter what happens.
That's a great defense attorney.
That's how I always approach the work, Dustin. Yeah. I appreciate that. So one of the things that I would always do on the front end with any client, but especially my DUIs, drug cases, mm-hmm. any case that's dealing with anything federal, there's just some basic shit you can do on the front end
mm-hmm.
to put yourself in best position. They include mental health assessment. Go and take your ass down and get an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's go ahead and start the treatment plan of what that assessment looks like. So how much better is it if Jen, I'm just using her as an example here, was able to go to court and say, Your Honor, we're asking for leniency because of all this shit she did say, right? My daddy died. My grandmother died. Your Honor, we're asking the court only sentence me to 3 years, which they asked for. And in support of these requests,
you have this behavior.
Look at the litany of things I've done pre-sentencing.
Yeah.
Your Honor, I've submitted myself to a mental health assessment. Your Honor, I have actively worked to support the diagnosis I received. I'm making this part up, but you know, my depression state, my bipolar state, I'm currently on these medications mm-hmm. that I take. I've also enrolled myself and completed, here's my certificate, Your Honor. May I approach the bench? Yes, you can, Ms. Williams. This is, you can see my completion of my anger management class mm-hmm. that I completed and took. You can see, Your Honor, where I've also spent the last, you know, 60 hours of the past few months volunteering at the Boys and Girls Club of New. See what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, support it with something. Support your request with something that will persuade the judge.
And the shit,
you know,
you've done on the front end
without being ordered. Yeah.
And that's the reason we're doing this story, y'all. This ain't even about Jen Shaw. You know, Jen
we
Shaw.
We off that.
It's done. I'm using that as an example to say, and it caught my eye when I saw that she was being ordered post-release to do some shit. And again, I'm not saying she didn't do it. I'm just saying we don't know about it if you
right,
did do it.
Been.
And it would be contrary to legal reason that you would be ordered to do it on the front and back end. These are things that really, if haven't been done, should have been done.
I wonder, it's so funny you bring that up because I thought that her, first of all, I respect everybody's mental health journey, right? We're not diminishing that.
I take my Celexa every day.
But I was surprised.
I really do.
I was surprised that she kind of, I felt like at that point she was kind of just throwing spaghetti against the wall, trying to see what would stick.
Mm-hmm.
And I really was looking for something else to kind of, you know,
tether it to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't see it. So it's so funny that you say this.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what I was looking for.
And guess who else was looking for it?
The judge. Yeah.
The
you
judge.
Already know the judge. Yeah. So that's just some free jewelry, jurors.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just, you don't have, and don't think, because some of my clients, well, ain't they going to think I'm guilty? No, bitch. They're going to think you're smart.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to think you're smart.
Mm-hmm.
It is only of good practice to go into, because what it shows, it's not indicative of your guilt or innocence of the underlying charges. It's indicative of your respect for the space.
Absolutely.
Your respect for the process.
Mm-hmm.
This says to the judge, this is someone who is taking this process seriously. And nowhere does that matter more than federal court. It's just some free tea, y'all. Free tea. Yeah, you know, go on and get that assessment. It's most cities, $200.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that are low level, you know, low hanging fruit, if you will, relatively small investments that can save you years off your sentence. And I only know it because I've seen it before.
That makes it so worth it.
It's an investment.
So worth it.
And that's how you need to look at it, y'all. It's an investment. It's why wait for the court to make you when you can preempt, you know, and this applies to childhood. I used to do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, and you know, I know my report card gonna be a little bit fucked up. You know, this
cleaning
a little bit,
the kitchen all week long,
listen.
Spotless, you know. Yeah.
You know, if I fucked up in Gloria's house, it was a B.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I ain't got no B jeans.
That's
so
right.
Why you got a B on here?
That's right.
You better be in your room.
Okay. Because that's where
that
you going to be.
TV better be off.
Be off.
And I'm going to touch the back of it
yep.
to make sure
else
it's not warm.
I'm going to be on your ass.
And then
how about
I'm gonna
that?
Beat your ass
okay.
and be on it. And
since
then we're going to Chili's and you're going to shut the hell up. So mean. I'm sitting here crying in my crispy tenders.
Okay, we triggered, all right? But yeah, you know, I just, I really wish that Jen Shah had done things differently in general, but especially concerning the way she tried to, you know, bring the mental health dynamic into her sentencing.
Concur. Yeah, you and if you're going to bring it, like you said, just bring it all the way.
Yeah.
Bring it all the way. And like, yeah, that little piecemeal and this and that, and then this person
just
was sick and somebody was in the
hospital.
Nobody
give a fuck what you're talking about at this point. They don't even believe what you're saying at this point.
So that's why what I'm suggesting is important, because it's not about words. It's about the actions you have taken pre-sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you do post-sentencing, Now you're being made to do it. That's how the court feels.
Now it's something you got
to
do.
Right. And you go, hey, guess what? You're going to have to do it anyway. That's why I used to tell my clients, because you better believe part of your sentence is going to be this same shit. Assessment, substance abuse, treatment, AA.
All of that.
All of that. So go on and get it on the front end where you can get credit for it.
That's right.
Same thing with them report cards, kids listening.
That's right.
If you don't think she's going to make you vacuum that whole damn house after you bring that D up in there, she will.
That's right. She has a reservoir of punishments on deck, right? Make
so
her get creative.
Right. Go on and cherry pick some of the points up front and apply it.
Yep.
And say, I'm putting this towards my...
That's right. Towards my debt, my incoming debt.
That's
okay?
It. Consider me indentured.
I'm already a servant. Let's go.
This next story really does bring out my conspiracy theorist, but I suspect I'm right on this. This is a story put out by CNBC.
Mm-hmm.
And the title alone, and this is proof, y'all, why you cannot just go on clickbait, but people do. And that's why I'm bringing this story up, because it's a perfect example of what happens when you see a title, especially in a credible news publication like CNBC. This ain't some shit off a shade room.
No, not at all.
This is a business news outlet. Mm-hmm. CNBC, Bloomberg, Financial Times. Mm-hmm. Where else do I subscribe? The Atlantic, any of that.
Yes.
Forbes.
Yep. Something that we seek daily.
And presume credible.
Yep.
Rightfully so. So here we go. Headline. Recent study shows home ownership doesn't help build wealth. And that's all the headline says. So let's just start with that. When you read that headline, now you special, Dustin, but just put on your everyday person hat for a second.
Mm-hmm.
How does it read?
It would validate me as a person who was probably already having challenges acquiring home ownership or some sort of ownership in general.
Sure.
It's hard for Black men in America. It's hard for a lot of people to access that.
Absolutely.
Right? So as a person who was facing those challenges, that would have validated me in just backing away from the process and totally discouraged me from moving forward with trying to acquire a home. Period.
I concur. I think it totally.
That's what I would hear. Fuck it then. You know what I'm saying?
Good.
Why wash my hands of the whole damn deal?
I read it without context and I say good.
Yeah.
Because that shit is hard anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now I ain't got to worry
about it. And now this financial platform is telling me, don't worry about it. It ain't even what you think it is. Right? Like, that's the subtext. It ain't even gonna, bridge this, wealth gap anyway.
It definitely feels like someone who is in, who has certain information is patting you on the back and just ushering you off to the side instead of letting you through.
And
that's the way this feels.
You know what
feels.
We call that? Marginalization.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like.
Don't be fucking marginalizing me.
Yeah, that's what it looks
CNBC.
Like.
CNBC.
And then what's so interesting, because, again, they are a credible journalistic outlet. They had to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
When you read the guts of the piece.
Way down in it.
Way down in them terms and conditions that Dustin tells you to make sure you watch out for. You see that ain't it at all.
Mm.
What they're saying is not that home ownership does not help build wealth, because we all know that it does. And I'll go into that and the why and the obvious nature of that in a second. But let's just stay with the story for a minute. The story itself tells you that home ownership is at least as effective as other investment tools.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what they're trying to get to. They're trying to say, what they tried to do is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
What they're not saying in that headline, though, Dustin, which is more factually correct, is home ownership is not the only way to build that type of generational wealth. If you take the same money, and this is the big if, okay?
If
you are a renter, and you take the money that you, quote, save, which is actually a question mark, because everybody, I will tell you, I'm paying less now in my mortgage than I was paying in the year and a half of Airbnb rentals. And that's a fact. And I'm also acquiring equity now, which I wasn't before. Anyway, if you happen to save on your rent versus a mortgage, which some people do, but you take that savings and you invest the difference in that savings, Dustin, in certain equally volatile investment tools like index funds, certain stocks in the marketplace, then your wealth building will be about equal.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's saying something totally different than this headline.
That's not at all what the headline
said. Right. What you're saying is, I have another generational wealth building opportunity that includes stocks and bonds that can equate the same level of wealth accumulation netted in home ownership. And that takes two big ifs into consideration that I have a problem with, because y'all not clear about it. Yep. The first is that I have leftover between my rent and mortgage, you know, hypothetical mortgage, which again, everybody doesn't have.
Most people don't.
Right. Depending on where you live and and these rents being crazy as a month. Because that's actually, I'll tell y'all, you know, here in New York, I know this is true of LA, DC markets, Bay Area markets. The reason a lot of us are kind of desperately trying to get into home ownership is because the rents are so outrageous when your landlord, Dustin, is raising your rent 30, 40, 60% in a year, which is happening on the regular.
All the time.
You know, I'm not paying $7,000 for a one bedroom in New York.
I'm not either. I refuse.
Right. But that's the trajectory.
Yep.
And so we would argue, I would argue that the home ownership is less about da 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 da. It's called rent stabilization, motherfucker.
If you really want to break it
down.
If
you really want to break it down.
That's what we're doing
here.
That's
what we're doing.
Yeah.
All right. So miss me with that argument. Then the second part, Dustin, there, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, and maybe I'm not the best example, but I'm going to be vulnerable. If it's in my account, it's probably going to get spent. Period. So that is, for me, I'm not saying for everybody, Dustin, I'm saying for me,
right,
the home ownership move made sense, because if I don't see it, if it's just going straight to that equity, it's just going straight to that petty cash fund, it's going straight to that nest egg, it's building and it's growing, and I don't have to worry about it in the same way. But they're suggesting in this CNBC article, Dustin, for you to have that equivalent wealth growth, you would have to then be disciplined enough to take the gap, if you have a gap, and then invest that money. So that's an extra step. Every, you know, month or whatever, you've got to do the manual of investing it into another investment tool. Be it, like I said, stocks, bonds, index funds, or what have you. Ain't
well,
that, some shit?
That is some bullshit, which is what it is. And it's something that will discourage. It's so purposeful, right? Because people who won't take the time to read the full article and really get the gist of what's being said here are the same people who would be persuaded by a headline that like that to not.
That discourages
move forward.
You.
Yeah.
That's what you know, that you said the perfect word.
That's what they're doing.
It's discouragement. And, you know, I'll quote them just to, you know, cite my source here. They say, according to one particular study, on average, renting and reinvesting. See, y'all ain't say that part, the reinvesting part. Renting and reinvesting wins in terms of wealth creation, regardless of property appreciation, because property appreciation is highly correlated with gains in the traditional financial asset classes of stocks and bonds. Said another way, because that's a lot. The money that you would need to reinvest in these traditional assets, stocks and bonds, can appreciate about equally. Because that's what highly correlated means. It means about
almost
at the same
equal.
Rate.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. Like, y'all are really...
They tried it.
Really trying it. And again, I have to believe it's by design. And I have to believe it's because they don't want us to know... The simple fact, now what's become an obvious, understandable fact, Dustin, which is that home ownership correlates to generalized wealth positioning. It's a reason, Dustin Ross. I was just talking about this at our MLK Day service project for my chapter of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Just looking at, because the question was, has Black America significantly progressed since the era of Dr. King? And my answer was, define significantly progress?
Define progress, first of all.
Right, because according to even just the one metric of home ownership, not only have we not progressed,
we've
regressed. Because, and that's not an opinion, y'all, that's the numbers. The numbers say home ownership in America during the 1960 because there's a 1968 Fair Housing Act mm-hmm. that was established by Congress to address discrimination in housing, to address redlining, to address fraudulent and discriminatory mortgage rejections and all mm-hmm. the things that, guess what, we still see going on today.
Still.
Okay. That's what that was designed to do in 68. And then home ownerships of Black Americans hovered around 40 to 45%.
Mm-hmm.
And ask me where it is today.
Where is it, Ebony?
Right around 40 to 42%. Compare it to our white counterparts mm-hmm. who have maintained, in fact, a slight increase, but their numbers are about the same too. But their numbers are 70 plus percent, Dustin. Over 70% of white Americans. So that's look to your left, look to your right. 7 out of 10 white people in America own their homes. And I'm supposed to believe it's a coincidence, Dustin Ross, that there is that white people have we only have 10% of the wealth of white America.
I know I'm not.
I can't believe that to be a coincidence, Dustin.
The numbers literally tell the story.
Yeah. So you mean to tell me white people own 70% of their home? I mean, 70% of white people rather own their homes. Only 40% of Black people own their homes. And Black people only have a 10% of the wealth of white America. The math ain't math then.
No, not at all. Well, I mean, I guess this is really like blatantly telling on itself, right? With its intention.
I feel
blatantly.
So.
It's almost damn misinformation.
I feel like it's, I feel like if at a minimum, Dustin, it's misleading.
It's very misleading.
Say the whole, so let me retitle this for you. You know, them Instagrammies, like, I fixed it for
uh-huh.
you. Okay, let me fix it.
You're gonna
for
fix
you.
It. You're gonna redline
let
it.
Let me redline
how about
the,
that.
The, ooh.
You're gonna redline
I see what you
it.
Did there. Yeah. I like that. Come on now. Let me redline this for you. Recent study shows home ownership builds wealth at about the equivalent rate as renting and then reinvesting the extra money you may or may not get from renting versus mortgage payment into the equally volatile investment tools of stocks and bonds. That's the title.
Plain and simple. The long and short of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And on this one, the people deserve the long.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Don't be trying to shortcut.
Yep.
In a way that's disadvantageous to Black America's pocket.
And raggedy bitches, whoever wrote this, you mm-hmm. know what you were doing because you know the personal connection that people have to the woes of that experience. Trying your best,
because
busting your ass.
Because it's traumatic as hell.
Saving every dime you have and every dime you make, which is such a slow process for a lot of people.
Slow.
Being patient.
Tedious.
Tedious, missing out on other things, you know, and then still being rejected when you go into these loan when you go into these banks to get the loans, being
it.
Rejected mm-hmm. after all of that work, you're playing on those emotions of people in that circumstance, and that is low down and dirty.
Low down and dirty, and that's why I do think it's intentional, Dustin, because they know it is an emotionally traumatizing process. I will tell you, and we talked about it during my process.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of sorority, the sorority had a workshop,
mm-hmm.
right? It's about home ownership. Do you understand? Number. Active, good member on the
yes,
executive committee and everything. I could not even attend my own chapter's home ownership workshop because I was in my underwriting process and I had been rejected by my lender maybe 4 times at that point. So it was literally at that point, like just between me and God, you know, like that I was going to continue to pray, Dustin. I was going to continue to
yep.
resubmit. Every time they said, well, we need you to resubmit that, you know, you was going to get that resubmission till Christ came back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until I get the fucking keys.
That's it. But that is not for everybody. Everybody mm-hmm. is not built for that level of rejection, Dustin. And that, because that's how it started
no.
to feel. It started to feel like y'all want me to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I'm Gloria's daughter.
That's right.
And because I'm Kerry James Williams Sr.'s granddaughter.
That's right.
I'm not going to give up. But most of us do. And I think I was really pissed when I saw this headline because it triggered that in me. Like, now here's the national media playing into an insecurity and an improbability that already exist when it comes to black people and home ownership. How dare y'all?
And people are having conversations about this because just last night I was at a Mexican restaurant.
Without me? How dare
in Chelsea.
You?
I know. Right after you the play, we went.
I'm just playing okay. with you. I'm just messing
so,
with you.
So, I know you love a good Mexican spot. You know.
You know me and enchiladas.
That's
like
right.
This.
Okay.
Okay.
But we were, as we were sitting there at the bar having the best shrimp. As a matter of fact, we're going.
We're going?
Yeah.
Did you have some shrimp fajitas?
Shrimp quesadillas. Okay, so, that ooh, were yes. bomb. Big, yeah. huge. It
prawns.
Was delicious. Okay.
Y'all were eating some prawns.
So, okay. So, but we were talking about this article.
Yeah.
We were talking about
really?
It. Yeah, having conversations about this. One of my friends is very interested in home ownership.
Love it.
You know, we were having a deep conversation around this article. So when I got home and looked over our docket, the notes for our docket today, I was like,
wow,
this is so timely. Like, yep. we were literally just, this is a very triggering article for a
but
lot of people.
We have to talk about it.
We have, to talk about the minutia of it,
yes.
right?
Yes, and to that point, one of our very good mutual friends who has a beard, was over at my place.
Lovely.
And you know, he's in his journey. Mm-hmm. You know, he's grown man, got his little cash situation together. Mm-hmm. He's ready. Mm-hmm. He's fiscally fit to purchase, mm-hmm. and yet he's going through
facing challenges. Facing,
and
yeah.
so, what did I do? And this is why we've got to talk. I'm mm-hmm. so glad he was vulnerable to say, Eb, you know, my money right, my credit right, and I'm still going through. Mm-hmm. What can I do? I gave him right on to my real estate mm-hmm. lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Evans LaGrosse.
Mm-hmm.
Google him, look him up. I would not have my keys today. Kerry James would not be wearing out my new rug
Miss
today.
Miss Kerry James. All right. I love you, Kerry James.
So sweet.
Yes.
But it wouldn't be the case but for Evans.
Mm-hmm.
But for my black, happens to be Haitian, shout
mm-hmm.
out to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
for
God
sure.
for the revolution.
Yeah.
Evans LaGrosse, who is a black, he's our peer. He's mm-hmm. a black man, about 40, 41 years old. Held my hand, Dustin, through that terrain.
Yeah.
He advocated, and with my building and sponsors and the lenders and everybody was fucking around, he joined with me and he said, make it enough
mm-hmm.
until we closed. And that is important. So I gave his information and I said, and tell him I sent you.
Yeah.
And Evans is going to hook you up.
Yeah.
He's going, he will do everything legally to put you in a home of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tenacity, Dustin, we have to have as a culture. So we have to, like you say, I love that you and your friends were talking about this article. We have to spot this for the bullshit that it is.
Mm-hmm.
We have to reject it on its face, and we have to replace it with, you know, again, nobody say anything's wrong with renting. That's fine. But nobody also said you have to own where you live.
Yeah.
You know, there's a scenario where maybe you rent, maybe that works for your lifestyle. There's nothing wrong. There's no losing argument.
Yeah.
For owning some property somewhere. They yep. said this in the piano lesson last night. One of the lines was, land is the only thing God not making more of.
See?
And it's true.
So how dare they?
How dare they?
How dare they? With the very real and very accessible history.
And very current day. I just was reading an article in the New York Times not 2 days ago, Dustin, talking about how black people are, I think it's 7 times more likely to be rejected for mortgage approvals.
Mm.
You know, of course, we know the appraisals of black owned properties in black neighborhoods.
How many times have we seen that, Ebony, where they come in and stage the house as if a white family was living there and it gets appraised for 25%
totally.
More?
And part of the reason we now know, because now it's being studied,
mm-hmm.
That's happening, Dustin, I think it's 3% of the appraisal profession is black. Like 97% of the appraisal entire marketplace. So of all the appraisers in America, 97% of them are white. So there's a movement by three sisters. This is also in the Times. Three black women who are appraisers of real estate are leading the charge to recruit more black people and black women to become trained in appraisal processes because that's part of the problem. When the oppressor, and by this, I'm not talking about individual, I'm talking about whiteness as a construct.
Mm-hmm.
When the oppressor walks into your space and discounts its value in the spirit of anti-blackness, there's only one way to change that. We have to participate in our own liberation.
Yep. I love that they're leading that charge. I would actually love, you know, I love home renos and shit anyway. That's so it. I would love to appraise homes. You know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe
I
need a
new hobby.
Come,
okay.
You need to come by and praise mine.
You know, I will. I'll come and look at this. Okay, we're going to top dollar for that.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I'm
it.
Saying? We're going to set it right.
That's it.
This is great. And I encourage more black people to do that. If you, now that we've identified this, you know, from a numbers perspective,
absolutely.
There's only 3% of that workforce are black.
That's it.
Black people that are looking for work,
yep.
get into the
it's
appraisal
a great
market.
Space. And
yes.
I want to say in New York, because one of these sisters is based in New York, New York has allocated city and state funding to train
it's
on
a
the
no-brainer.
City's dime. So y'all look into that. It's
look
a really
into
good
it.
Point. If y'all are anywhere in the tri-state New York area, New York is actually paying for your classes,
mm-hmm.
paying for your certifications, for you to become a certified real estate appraiser.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great space
mm-hmm.
that not enough of us know about and not enough of us are in.
Yeah, let's infiltrate that.
That's if I love, you know, I love a good infiltration.
I love a good infiltration. The same way that these white supremacists mm-hmm. have infiltrated the school systems
that's
as
it.
Teachers and the police forces as officers.
Let's make
infiltrate.
That our space.
Yeah,
let's make
infiltrate.
It our space. Mm-hmm. My mama tried to play me talking about how is that gonna look when you because the wallpaper in my bathroom is Harlem Toilette. So it
oh,
is
yes, yes,
this
yes.
black interpretation mm-hmm. of, you know, French avant-garde and all of this. Fabulous.
Love it.
And she's like, well, is that going to affect your property value? I said, yeah, it's going to make it go up.
That's right. How about
that's
that?
That's what we're doing.
How about that?
Because that's what Bet on Black is about.
Yeah, it gives it a historical
that's
value.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because when you have the audacity to try to buy some property in front of the statue of Harriet Tubman.
Mm-hmm. Then you will welcome this.
Right. This right here by Frederick Douglass
yep.
Boulevard.
Iconic. Mm-hmm.
You better inflate my price because of my honoring of black heritage and culture.
Absolutely. And also that just encouraged me to have just a very quick pivot with you.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the Martin Luther King Jr. statue that people are up in arms about?
Up in arms.
No
is
pun
exactly
intended,
right.
Right.
I would say that's the exact right phrasing. I mean, listen, I don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, also people getting on my nerves because people are like, well, who asked for this? Y'all stop with that. Yeah, that saying needs to go. Many people asked for this.
Life.
Literally, the family
yeah,
asked for
literally
this.
Asked for it. Furthermore,
you know?
Is it really, how dare these people?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. After we've been tearing down these monuments and statues
right.
that reflect such a poor representation of what has actually happened in history.
Mm-hmm.
We finally have this statue coming up. You might not like how it looks. Hell, I might not like
how
it looks.
Guess what? That's the nature of art. It
is
subjective.
It's interpretive. Yeah, it's subjective.
That's what
it is. Fucking art. And if you knew more, you don't get to say. And that's why I love the way the artist handled
that. Yes, I love that he stayed 10 toes down.
Like, excuse the fuck out of me. For, like, who are you to say because you don't like something? I don't like you.
Right.
Shit.
Right.
I don't like what you got on.
Right.
How about
and
that?
And guess what? My check clear.
And it's not
and it's
up
commissioned.
To you.
And, you know, one thing I was thinking about it recently after kind of the hoopla.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I do like about the ambiguous, because I think the critique is, first of all, a lot of people simple-minded. Let's just start with that. Okay?
You don't know enough about art, and it's myriad of interpretations.
Right. So I was going to say, if it's not just a bust of somebody's head,
mm-hmm.
you know.
A direct.
Right. A literal copy and paste, you want to feel away. What I like about the piece is, what you're going to know is when you go to that part of Boston, is that this is a statue that reflects Dr. King and Mrs. Coretta Scott King
embracing
in a specific moment in time, which was at the acceptance of Dr. King's Nobel Peace Prize.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So to me, it sparks that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, that's a fact about Dr. King that not a lot of people even really, they may know it, but they forgot they knew
mm-hmm.
it. Like, this man is a global humanitarian,
mm-hmm.
and this statue is a moment in time of a loving embrace between a black man and a black woman, because God knows we don't see enough of that, as he is on the global stage
mm-hmm.
for his humanitarian work. That alone, to me, makes it.
Yeah. I'm like, did no one read the plaque?
And that's why some people mad. Let's just tell the truth. Some people mad because they know they're going to have to read that motherfucking plaque.
Like, read
to get
the plaque.
It. Read the plaque.
That's part of the fun mm-hmm. of going to, you know, experience art and absorb art. Reading the intention from the artist.
Exactly.
Reading what the hell you're looking at. Understanding the context.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hate that this has picked up steam amongst people who don't know nothing about nothing.
Don't know nothing
way.
To even talk. Again, haven't done the reading. As simple as the plaque. You won't even read the plaque.
That's why your teeth have plaque.
Yeah.
How about that?
I was playing with one of my producers on the griot, and she mm-hmm. was like, well, I don't like it. You know, it looks like a phallic symbol to me. I said, but because you're nasty.
And get your mind out the cut. Why you think, why you got dick on the brain? Right. And we talking about Dr. Damn King.
Well.
Martin Luther the King.
Well,
what are we talking about?
Well, Dustin.
I know, but we ain't on that section of the story. We ain't on chapter 13. Yeah, whatever chapter. We ain't on that section of his story yet.
Well, now we heard them FBI tapes, Dustin.
We did. Well, you know, we all know what's going on. Hell, if I had to, you know, walk these niggas to freedom, I'd need to fuck on something too. Shit, I'd have needed me a little release too. I ain't too mad at Dr. King, actually, you know? I would have needed something, you know, something cathartic for myself, too.
A little pillow talk.
Just a little bit.
Oh, some extra pillow talk.
No, we're joking. But yeah, like, get it together regarding that damn statue. I just wanted to pick your brain.
I'm glad.
We haven't done that in our offline conversation.
Yeah, we haven't. But that was my thought on that. You know, did it look like I thought it was going to look? No. Am I totally intrigued mm-hmm. by the conversations of us recalling something about Dr. King that we don't talk about every damn day?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I appreciate that. Yes. Now, somebody else we don't talk about every day.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguar Wright. Again, as we said in the intro, Dustin made the point, you know, you've got to be of a certain moment in time of mm-hmm. the culture to appreciate the offerings of Miss Jaguar Wright.
A great way to revisit mm-hmm. who she was in culture, right,
mm-hmm.
would be to watch the Jay-Z Unplugged performance from MTV, because she was singing with the band.
Mm-hmm.
And singing a lot of the samples from his work.
Yep.
And that's a great way to
she
to
was
just,
a hook.
You know.
She was a hook goddess.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you
for
know,
sure.
A lot of hip hop, a lot of that. She's just important to the soul and R&B community. So when we see Jaguar right now popping up on social media feeds, it's always sad to me to see, you know, that she just doesn't look like she's in a good place.
Yeah.
So this particular story, Dusta, comes about from a video that we've, you know, seen that's gone viral.
Mm-hmm.
And then she actually shared this, you know, that she is laying on the ground, being detained by police
mm-hmm.
as the result of a domestic violence dispute with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad. She's, you know, being belligerent and officers are not helping the situation. It's just all a mess. Apparently, the video was recorded by her husband. You can hear him. This all took place at a barbershop. I mean, this mm-hmm. is just, it's just the height of messiness and unfortunate
so many layers here.
Situation. Yes, yeah, apparently, according to him.
I'm sorry. Okay. I don't want to laugh at everything you said.
What? What did I yeah, say?
And it took place at a barbershop.
I mean, it just. And I said that as a kid that grew up in the shop. You know, I'm
very funny, but I just knew what you meant.
You know what I mean?
You said
it's
that
like,
the way you
come
said
on.
It. Yeah. Yes.
Damn.
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's just.
Because it's serious,
it is serious.
You know?
That bothers me. You know,
yeah.
The barbershop and the beauty shop are supposed to be sanctuaries.
But they represent
the
a type
a certain element of the culture.
Yeah.
Very much so. Listen, Gigi's hair care, you mm-hmm. know, ask about it.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte. Mm-hmm. They had you with Charlotte.
That's
ask about
right.
Gigi's.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a certain reverence
mm-hmm.
for what those spaces mean
mm-hmm.
in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just see it playing out,
mm-hmm.
right? This man
mm-hmm.
sitting up, he next in line for his cut.
And
he's probably been there all day.
All 2 hours
yeah,
waiting.
Yeah, just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Carter came in late
uh-huh.
with
uh-huh.
a fish sandwich.
On the phone.
With a fish sandwich
uh-huh.
and on the phone.
Yep. And his kids.
Right. And a big old 32-ounce cup of styrofoam with sugar and some water.
That's right. You know it. All the things.
All the things. And then, you know, here come Jaguar Wright and her friend, and the friend, Solar. So we already know it's some cultist shit going on, according to the husband. And really came up there to wax his ass. Like, literally, you came up in the shop, busted up in here to set
on
it off.
On a mission.
On a mission. Mm-hmm. So that exactly, to quote him, he says, "She came up here and assaulted me while I was at an effing barbershop." Not funny. "Her and effing Solar came to the barbershop, bruised me."
Mm.
This man said they bruised him and assaulted me, end quote. He also, that this was really too much for me. He accuses Jaguar Wright of throwing their late son's ashes out of a car window.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Now it's morbid, right?
That's deep.
Now it's real painful. And then he goes on to say that "I never caused this to my wife. She did this to herself, hanging out with mother effing sex cultists. They both effing drunk as F." Okay. It's just messy. The husband claimed that the incident stemmed from an altercation that took place the night before. And this often is the case with DV, where it's ongoing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he and Jaguar Wright were wrestling over a gun. That never ends well. Cops were called. That was thwarted. And the end of this Instagram rant, the husband asked everybody to pray for Jaguar Wright. Jaguar did post a response video after her arrest, about
no.
7 minutes long. I know, because she's always, that's what I'm saying, every time, I want somebody to take her phone.
Please.
You know, because it never helps. And then all this explaining she's doing from a legal standpoint only works against her.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's, and the reason I wanted to do this story again is not just to further, you know, shit on Jaguar Wright, because, you know, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
It seems to be kind of that situation for her.
Yeah.
Again, Dustin, I really want to talk about the nature of the gender factor here.
Okay.
I recall a time in my adolescence, mm-hmm. and even maybe even my young adulthood, where when you talked about domestic violence, it was really only one way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was women as victims.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative was, if a man hit you back, like that's about him being less than a man. And also, like, almost this presumption that women could get, should get to do whatever they wanted physically and or otherwise, and there would be no consequence. And only men were to face consequences for violent behavior. And I know we know this intellectually, but I couldn't help but use this opportunity, Dustin, with Jaguar Wright, only because there's a visual here. You see this woman is mm-hmm. on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is being put in cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is being held accountable for the alleged violence that took place here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to remind ladies, just a PSA, your ovaries will not save you.
Yeah.
Your vulva will not save you.
Yeah.
You will go to jail. You will be convicted. And you will live with all of the tangential consequences of mm-hmm. that, Dustin. Now, we talked about her, the ashes of their late son, but please, ladies, know that when you think it's a good idea to go up to somebody's job, go to somebody's side piece house, pull up at the barbershop, wherever you think you and your homegirl about to flex, know that you're jeopardizing the custody you have of your children. Know that you're jeopardizing. Some of y'all got good government jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You won't after a domestic violence conviction.
No, it sticks.
And the consequences of it are more severe than a regular conviction.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm going deep like this, Dustin.
They're damning.
They are damning. They are meant to, because again, think about it. Domestic violence statutes and courts historically have been used to undermine men
mm-hmm.
who exert violence, which is why the custody consequence is so severe, mm-hmm. right? Because when you think about a man who's beating up on his wife or a woman or whatever, you want to make sure that is prevented from being around the children.
Mm-hmm.
And who is traditionally the caretaker of the children? It's the battered woman.
Yeah.
That paradigm is being flipped on its head now, Dustin. And I'm not saying that it hasn't always been, because we know that there's always been violent women and males who are victim. But now the law is kind of catching up
mm-hmm.
with that reality, and women are being prosecuted. Let mm-hmm. me say it plainly. Women are being prosecuted, Dustin. They're being convicted, and they are having custody taken. They're having to pay child support in new ways. Your ovaries won't save you, ladies. It's a new day, and you need to be prepared for any and all of the consequences that show up, especially when you think you want to put your hands on somebody.
It's just ugly. You know, in my prior days, you know, I never minded a good little 1-2 tussle street fight. You know what I mean? Male to male.
Male to male.
Male to male.
Yeah.
Male to male. Yeah,
I'm very clear. That
okay?
makes sense.
Okay, let's be clear.
Two grown men.
You know, don't put your hands on me. I don't give a damn who you are. Don't put your hands on me.
That's right.
You know, I'm not going to fight a woman, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm also not going to let you just put your hands on me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to get you off of me, and then you're going to deal with the authorities. Then, you know what I mean? Exactly.
And you will deal with the authorities is the
For
point we're making.
Sure, yeah. You will, because that's my only defense. I can't physically mm-hmm. hit you back like I would a man, so mm-hmm. you know I'm going to press some charges.
That's right.
Okay, on your ass. Mm-hmm. And so it is something that people have to be mindful of, just in general. You know, keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, and you know, and we can, and I'm glad you're bringing this up. This applies to same-sex couples. And again, this is, and I've always been kind of fascinated with this, Dustin, because I remember being a law student,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's things that like the culture has moved on, but mm-hmm. the law hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, now that, you know, same-sex marriage and same-sex couples and domestic partnerships, there's a lot of lesbian relationships
mm-hmm.
where this issue is going to show itself
mm-hmm.
in a certain way. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? Like, so you know, ladies, you know, women on women, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
It's the same thing. Do not for 1 second think the Mr. Johnny Law is coming up to y'all's house and go say, oh, it's some ladies just, you know, having a lover's quarrel.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, no,
but see, people be thinking like that.
Yep.
The law does not care. Y'all both are going to jail, and y'all will, and the law enforcement will let the court figure the rest out later
in their own time.
That's it.
So it's definitely
and both of y'all might end up doing time.
Yeah.
My point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it's, you know, not a lot more to say on this, y'all. Just remember that the way in which we used to think about gender roles and men on men and women on women and men women and it just throw that shit out.
Throw it out.
Because the law is finally catching up to what we say we want in a gender equity society, and it is uniformly applying the laws of domestic violence.
Yeah. The heads up from E. That's what that is.
It.
Think about that before you throw hands and going up to the barbershop, you and fucking Solar. Ain't that what?
Yeah, Solar. What her husband said. Solar.
Her and fucking Solar. He was mad.
He was mad as hell.
He was mad when he gave that statement.
Yeah. And I mean, not for nothing, if how he plays it out is true, I see
I would have been mad as hell too.
Yeah, fucking up my cut.
Her and fucking Solar coming up to the barbershop.
Solar.
Solar and Daystar.
Yeah, you know, you already know. These galaxy names and shit.
Come on back down to earth here, because that's where the police finna lock your ass up.
On earth.
How about that?
And it's going to be on site.
How about that?
Yeah, I really had to say that.
You're going to be in the system, Solar. It's going to be the Solar system.
Revolving around your ass. Listen, and that's, because again, I have to say that. I come from a generation where women really used to try it.
Yeah.
They do. I have seen it. I've been in the courtroom, you know. It's a different day, y'all, and it's gonna get more and more this way. Like I said, we talk about child support, we talk about child custody, we talk about women paying child support, women paying spousal support. Well, of course, this was gonna be the next iteration of what that gender equality looks like. Women are doing time for putting their hands on men and other women. So, bitch, you will go to jail. Simply put,
that's the messaging here.
That's the messaging.
You can say it. I can't say it.
I can say
that's
it.
That's the messaging.
That's the bitch. Yeah. Bitch, fuck around and find out.
That's it. That's the messaging.
Them titties not saving you.
That's it.
Well, that was another excellent episode. that nice note.
Chef's kiss. Yes.
Join us again next week, y'all. We'll be back in session with another episode of Hold the Court, of course. In the meantime, as always, Dustin Ross, you want the people to what?
Please read your terms and your conditions.
Please.
And not them pamphlets from Solar.
And not them headlines from CNBC.
Either. Okay?
Read the terms. Read the content.
Get into it.
Get into the fine print.
Minutia is a fun word to say, you know? Get into the minutia.
Get into the minutia. Get into the deets. The love is in the details.
The deets.
Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jay Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to Operations Lead, Sarah Yu. Business Development Lead, Sheffy Ellen Swegg. And Marketing Lead, Samira Still.